All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Good morning. Let us begin an incredibly exciting day today. Welcome to the Chevra on Zoom who's joining us. And welcome, of course, to the Chevra that's here. That's joining us, Baruch Hashem. We begin by thanking our sponsors. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Kislev, Sammy and Malka Esterson, for dedicating all of the Shiurim this month in memory of their parents, Yitzchok Leib ben Aaron HaKohen, Sarah Rachel Bas Baruch Avram, and Hinda Bas Henech Ephraim. We thank our Day of Learning sponsors, David Flum and Zevi Daniel, for dedicating the learning today for the continued Refuah Shalema of David Kalman ben Tavya Huttel, and in deep appreciation for his friendship and inspiration. We thank our Dafyomi sponsors as well for Refuah Shlema for Dr. Aviva Weisbord, Ruchama Aviva Bas Shena Chana, Gabi and Shena Kohn, Le'iloi Nishmas, Mrs. Francis Zwicka, Freda Miriam Bas Elazar Benish, and the Zuchos of Refuah Shlema for Rachel Yehudis Bas Tova Gittel, and by Tali and Michelle Strum, in honor of a birth of a granddaughter to their children, Ariel and Ori Strum. Mazel tov, mazel tov. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of the neshamos will have an aliyah. All those who require a refuah, should Emir Hashem have one. And all of those beautiful neshamos who have just joined Klal Yisrael, Emir Hashem bizocha, to go to Torah, chuppah, and maisim tovim. We'll see with that. Let us begin. So, Shechianu v'kimanu v'higianu lazman hazeh. Such an incredible zechus to come to the last daf of Meseches Erevin. So we'll say, so with that, let us begin. So we're actually, so again, I know Baruch Hashem, there's a number of different shiurim that happen over the course of Shabbos. So here we left off at the Gemara on Kuf Dalit Amud Beis. So we have a little bit to do today, and actually some really fascinating halacha lamaisa, which Emir Hashem will keep us engaged. It says the Gemara, Amar Rav Tavi Bar Kisa. So we'll say, remember again, just to reorient ourselves a little bit, we had the fascinating case, if you find the sheretz, if you find a dead rodent in the Beis HaMikdash. What do you do if you find a dead rodent in the Beis HaMikdash? What should be done? So remember again, the Mishnah quoted two different opinions. Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka said, the Kohen should just scoop up the rodent with his sash and get rid of it that way. Come along, Rabbi Yehuda said, no, better to use tzeves shel eitz. Better to go ahead and use wooden tongs. Now, Bosh and I, what was the machlokes? So remember again, we're going to see what the nature of the machlokes is, but Rabbi Yehuda at least is saying better to use wooden tongs, because wooden tongs are what? Pshute kleitz. They are wooden utensils without a receptacle, and a wooden utensil without a receptacle, without a cavity, ultimately, again, is not mekabel tuma. So Bosh says, then we had a number of other statements, but that's what we're focusing on right now. Says the Gemara, Amrav Tavi Bar Kis, Amr Shmuel, Hamachnis Tami Sheretz LeMikdash Chayiv. This is very interesting. If someone goes ahead and brings an item which has contracted Tomas Sheretz into the Beis HaMikdash, one is Chayiv. Okay, Rashi, Hamachnis Tami Sheretz, Kli Shenitma B'Sheretz. So we'll say this is talking about a utensil which became Tami through contact with the Sheretz. If you bring that into the Beis HaMikdash, you are Chayiv. Rashi says, Chayiv, Chatos B'Shogeg, the Karis al Zidono Mishum Kies Mikdash Hashem Time. So both say again, remember, anytime you walk into the Mikdash or you bring something tummy into the Mikdash, if you do it intentionally, it's a Chiyiv Karis. If you do it unintentionally, it's a Chiyiv Chatos. What the Gemara is not talking about, Rabbi says, I have a Kli or an item that became tummy through contact with the Sheretz. If I bring it in intentionally into the Beis HaMikdash, it is a Chiyiv Darais, or I should say, excuse me, it's a Chiyiv Karis, unintentionally Chiyiv Chatos. Yet, interestingly enough, Sheretz atzmo potter. I both say dramatic statement. But if you bring a sheretz itself into the Beis HaMikdash, you're potter. They will say potter, of course, means potter aval aser. In other words, you're not allowed to do it. But Lamaisa, there is no liability for doing that. Where do we get that? From my time. Amakra, mizachar ba'ad nekeva teshalechu. As I will say, the Pasuk, when speaking about the halachos of Tum and Taira, uses lashon of mizachar ad nekeva. What does that teach us? So we'll say, what does that come to include? That dafka comes to include something. Zachar ad nekeva teaches me only someone or something who has tara b'mikva. Ultimately, again, who can be purified in a mikvah, such an entity, there is liability for coming into the Beis HaMikdash in the state of tumah. However, something which does not have tara b'mikvah, something which cannot be purified in a mikvah, therefore, again, is not like zachar on the keva. Therefore, what? Therefore, Allah so there is no liability coming into the Beis HaMikdash in the state of tumah. And I will say, what does that mean? So therefore, a sheretz, can a sheretz be purified in a mikvah? No. Which Rabbi said, by the way, is such an incredible Musar. See, that's the incredible thing about being a person, a human being. That no matter how much I defile myself, I might become tummy like a sheretz, but I never become a sheretz. Which means that halacha l'maisa, tara, is always possible. Tara is always possible. So I said, this is a fascinating idea, and it sounds totally counterintuitive. So if I bring in a utensil that became tummy with tumas sheretz into the Beis HaMikdash, I'm chayiv. Intentionally kares, unintentionally chatos. I bring a sheretz itself into the Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara is positing, I'm not chayiv. Why not? Because interesting enough, on a technicality, you're only chayiv for bringing a tummy item into the Beis HaMikdash if the tummy item is capable of tara. But if the tummy item is not capable of becoming tar in a mikvah, then the Ma'aseh said there is no liability. Pretty incredible. We'll say, which you understand what it means, meaning on a hashkafic level, what the Gemara is saying is, the Beis HaMikdash can't tolerate tumah when there is the possibility for tara. But if there is no possibility for tara, then that tumah is not the type of tumah which is offensive to Kodesh. See, Rabbi Osai, the tumah of a sheretz itself, that's what it is. I mean, that's just its identity. So Rabbi Osai, so therefore again, that type of tumah, if it comes into the Beis HaMikdash, is not offensive to the holiness of the Kedusha of the Mikdash. Which type of tumah is offensive to the holiness of the Mikdash? For an item that could be tahar, but now is tameh. Rabbi Osai, that's the type of tumah that you can't bring into the Mikdash, where there's the capacity for Tara, but instead, the status is Tumah, that the Beis HaMikdash just can't come anywhere near me. It's really quite incredible. Lema Meseyele, we'll say there's a lot to think about there. Lema Meseyele, Mizachra Ad Nekeva Teshalech. We'll say again, we have another teaching that seems to support this idea. Pasuk says, from male to female, you shall send them out. Talking about Tumah. Pratli Kli Cheres Tiv Rabbi Yosei Lili. Rabbi Yosei Lili says, this comes to exclude a Kli Cheres. The Rabbi Yosei ultimately, again, if you go ahead and you bring a kli cheres, an earthenware utensil, which is tamei halacha lemaisa, you are pater. You're pater. So the Gemara says, what does this mean? The Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef, I'm sorry, dear Rabbi Yosef, my time, what's the reason? La mishum de les le tarab mikvah. Arbo say, because it sounds like the same principle we just spoke about before. What do we speak about before? That any utensil or any item which cannot achieve a state of tara in a mikvah, there is no liability for bringing it into the mikdash in a state of tumah. A kli cheres, Rabbi Osai, cannot be purified. Isn't that incredible? A kli cheres, Rabbi Osai, you know, I remember, you know, the first time we did a Yarchei Kala a number of years ago here from the shul. So we went to Shiloh. So it's amazing. I don't know why. I have all my trips here. So I never went to Shiloh before that trip. It was one of the most transformative experiences of my life. But the incredible thing about Shiloh is, remember, that was the Makom HaMishkan. That's where the Mishkan was situated. We even know today, you could daven right there. That's where Chana davened for Shmuel. That's an incredible spot. So still to this day, if you go to Shiloh, you could find earthenware shards in the areas. Remember again, Shiloh is situated like, well, the Makom HaMishkan is on a mountaintop, but it's surrounded by higher mountaintops. So the idea, the imagery is, people used to bring their karbanos and they would eat their karbanos on the surrounding mountaintops. Because remember, by Shiloh, you could eat karbanos b'chol haroah. As long as you could see Shiloh, you could eat your sacrificial, items. That you could find pottery shards there. Literally, again, on nails, because what would happen? People would go in and eat their karbanos in earthenware utensils. And what would they do? They would smash it afterwards. You couldn't take it home. So the Gemara says over here, if you bring a kli cheres into the mikdash, you're not chayiv. Now, I'm sorry, a tamei kli cheres into the mikdash, you're not chayiv. Now, why is that? Bepashtus, because what we said before, you're only chayiv from bringing something into the Beis HaMikdash in a state of tumah if it's capable of achieving a state of tara. The Gemara says, no, that's not the reason. It could very well be that the reason I'm chayiv for kli cheres is because the only thing you're chayiv for is something which could become an avatumah, the highest level of tumah. But a kli cheres, Rabbi Osei, is incapable, ultimately, again, of becoming an avatumah. So therefore, the fact that you can't bring in a kli cheres is not necessarily a raya to that which we said before. So Rabbi Osei, so what we have over here is something really fascinating. So if you look at Rashi, by the way, Rashi says, lo, the olam emelach amach nisharetz chayiv v'tayim v'di kli cheres mishum shein oray l'medris v'liyos avatumah deba'ino dumya d'zachar nekev. So Rabbi Osei, all right, we don't have to do the rest of Rashi. But Rashi, it's actually interesting Rashi to look at on your own. Rashi goes through this a little bit. So therefore, Rabbi Osei, understand where we're left. We're left over like this. The Gemara wanted to suggest that halacha lemaisa, Halacha lemaisa, if you bring something that is tamei tumas sheretz itself, that you are chayiv for that. For some, bringing something tamei into the mikdash. But if you bring the sheretz itself, you are not chayiv. You're not chayiv. Which are both say incredible idea. Why? Mizachar ad nekeva. Because remember when the Torah speaks about the laws of tum and tara, speaks about a man and a woman. That becomes the paradigmatic example of tumah. Why is it the paradigmatic example? Because just like zachar and the keva could achieve tara in a mikvah, so too you are only chayiv for bringing something tamei into the mikdash if it could become tahar. But say you hear this, if it can't become tahar, meaning if it's just innate state is to be tamei, that's not the type of tumah that the Beis HaMikdash legislates against. So the Gemara says, Lima Ketana. Suppose we tried to bring a Raya, the Raya didn't work. So let's say it's a Machlokes Tanam. Here we go. Sheretz Shinim Tzava Mikdash. If you have a Sheretz that is found in the Beis HaMikdash. Suppose this is our Mishnah. Kohen Motzio Behem Yono. So the Kohen takes off his belt. He picks up the Sheretz. The Lord will say, remember again, it's very specific over here. The Kohen is not touching the Sheretz himself. Because remember, the Kohen doesn't want to become Tamei. So what does the Kohen do? The Kohen lifts up the Sheretz with his belt. So he picks up the Sheretz with his belt, and he takes a Shalom Lashos es HaTumah Div Reb Yochanan Ben Baruch. So Reb Yochanan Ben Baruch says, very simple. The goal over here, Bosei, is what? Get the Sheretz out as quickly as possible. Even if that means what? Even if that means what? What? Making the clothing Tamei. See, so remember again, there's always two options. There's always two options. Option one is use the sash and get it out. Option two is wooden tongs. Option two takes longer than option one. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch says, get the tuma out as quickly as possible. Even if halacha l'maisa, the coin ends up making his own clothing, or at least an article of his clothing, tuma in the process. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'tzeves shal eitz motzio shal rabos es hatuma. Ultimately, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, better to go ahead and go grab a set of wooden tongs, even though what, Rabbi Yehuda, even though what?
It takes time,
right? But this way, you prevent the proliferation of tumah. Because Rabbi Yehuda, remember again, like this, there's a way to get that sheretz out without creating additional tumah collateral damage, right? Get the wooden utensils, they're not going to become tummy, and just get the sheretz out. The difference is it takes more time. Ultimately, again, Rabbi Yehuda, so listen to how profound this is. My love, Hakam of Gerbos, what are they arguing about? Demand Amr Shalom Shos Kasara Machne Sheretz Lamikdash Chayiv. Bozei, it's possible. Here's what they're arguing about. The one who says that you shouldn't wait, just get the sheretz out with the sash. Even though the belt, the sash, and the coin becomes tummy, he holds that it is usher to bring a dead sheretz into the mikdash. Therefore, we'll say the presence of the sheretz in the mikdash is a real halachic problem. Therefore, you have to remove it as quickly as possible, even if that causes the big day kahuna to become tummy. And the opinion who holds that you go ahead and take your time, get the wooden tongs, not take your time, understand, but take a little bit more time and get the wooden tongs, he holds that what? That halacha l'maisa, if you bring a sheretz into the mikdash, you're pater. Why would you be pater, Rabbi Osai? You'd be pater because halacha l'maisa, only an item that could become tar in a mikvah, are you usher to bring into the mikdash in a state of tumah. Maybe that's our agreement. Twitch Gemara says, low. That's not the machlokes. Rabbi Yosef, listen to how profound this is. The chuli al machayev. Rabbi Yosef, everyone holds that halacha l'maaseh. You are chayev for bringing a sheretz into the Beis Hamikdash. Actually, we'll see this halacha in just a moment. Everyone agrees that you're chayev for bringing a sheretz into the mikdash. Rabbi Yosef means if you walk into the Beis Hamikdash with a dead sheretz, if a person does it intentionally, they're chayev kares. Person does it unintentionally, they're chayev chata. So we'll say, what's the machlokes? Listen to this. Bakim Riflegi. Mar Savar Shahuye Tuma Adif. I will say one opinion holds that it is better to Umar Savar Afushe Tuma Adif. So we'll say one opinion says that it is better to go ahead and avoid. Well, Shahuye Tuma Adif means it's better to go ahead and cause the Tuma to linger longer, but prevent the proliferation of tumah, versus one opinion holds that it is better to prevent the proliferation. One opinion holds that halacha lemaisa, it is better to get the tumah out as quickly as possible, even if that causes the proliferation of tumah. The other opinion holds it is better to take one's time in getting the tumah out and prevent the spread of tumah. So we'll say, understand what's happening over here. Which again, the truth is, it's kind of mistaber that's the machlokas in the Mishnah. Right? So we'll say, so remember again, the Kohen finds the dead sheretz in the Mikdash. He's going to get it out. There are two options. Option one is act quickly, but what? create collateral damage. What's the collateral damage in this case? His belt. His belt will become tame. Possibility two is act more slowly, but what? But what? Therefore, mitigate or minimize, really, or prevent any type of collateral tumah damage. But what? Delay the removal of tumah. Rabbi say that's the argument. Rabbi say, understand what a profound life machlokis this is. Rabbi say this is like look at the hashkaf of this. Rabbi say, see, understand what the metaphorical significance is. You know, finding tumah in the mikdash. Rabbi say represents discovering that you have a real problem in life. Right? Something in my life is really broken and something really is not good. How do you deal with problems in life? So I'll say there are often two different approaches dealing with problems. You could do like quick, right? Or I should say, you know, fast track resolution, but understand sometimes going ahead and course correcting something in a fast tracked fashion causes other collateral damage along the way versus taking a bit more time to try to fix that which is broken, which on one hand can minimize the collateral damage, but on the other hand, allows the tumah to remain in place for a longer amount of time. Now, both saying, in life, which is the right approach? It depends. I will say there are some times in life where you have to slam on the brakes, right? Sometimes life where you just got to get the tumah out of your life. And even though, again, my belt is going to become tummy in the process of it. Even though, again, at this, if I remove the sherets right now, there's going to be other collateral damage. But the presence of the sherets in my life is so bad that I have to get it out now. I'll deal with the collateral damage other later on. And other times, you could take a slower, more methodical approach to dealing with the inconsistencies or to dealing with the things that are broken in life. But these are like the two Ashkafic approaches to dealing with the sherets of life. Quick and decisive, even though there's collateral damage, or a bit slower and methodical, minimize the collateral damage, but understand that the tumah sits there for longer. So we'll say, Sahalocha lemaisa. It happens at the Rambam paskins. This is in Hilchos Bias HaMikdash, Perek Gimel Halacha Tezayin. Rambam writes, HaMachnis Sheretz Ukiyotzi Baba Mikdash, O Shehichnis Adam Tamil Mikdash, Harei Zechayiv Karis. So I will say, interestingly enough, Halacha Lamaisa, we paskin, just like the conclusion of the Gemara over here, that bringing a Sheretz into the Mikdash is Chayiv. In other words, we'll say, bringing a Sheretz into the Mikdash, if you do it intentionally, there's a Chayiv Karis. If you do it unintentionally, there is a Chayiv Chatos. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, Ela Kehani Tanoi, Tisnan, Mehecha Motzi, and also, so let's remember again, the next discussion in the Mishnah was from what areas of the Mikdash is there an obligation to go ahead and remove a Sheretz. If you find the Sheretz in the Mikdash, from which areas do you have to remove? So remember again, if we look at this, the Mishnah said, Mehecha Motzino, so I'm just reading the Mishnah, Mina Hechol, Mina Ulam, Mina Ulam, Mina Zech, Rabbi Shimon Anas. But Rabbi Shimon Anas said, you remove it from the Hechol, from the Ulam, and the area between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. Rabbi Akiva said, any area of the Mikdash, which you would be chayiv for, if you walked into it in a state of Tumah, that's the area from which you go ahead and remove the sheretz. Rabbi said, there's a big nafkamina there. What's the big nafkamina? The Azara, the courtyard. According to Rishim Ben Anas, if you find a dead sheretz in the courtyard, you don't have to take it out. According to Rabbi Akiva, you do have to take it out. So what's going on over here? What are Rabbi Rishim Ben Anas and Rabbi Akiva arguing about? Demand Domer Me'azara. Me'azara, though, according to the opinion who says that you do not have to remove a dead sheretz from the Azar, from the courtyard of the Beis Hamikdash. That's Reb Shimon Anas. Kasavra Hamachni Sheretz LaMikdash Potter. He holds, right, he would be of the opinion that if you bring a sheretz into the Mikdash, you are Potter. Uman Da'amar Mikula Azara, but Rabbi Akiva, who holds that a dead sheretz must be removed from the entire Azara, Kasavar Chayiv. He ultimately would hold that Halacha LaMaisa. You are Chayiv, top of Kufher, but say, last Amud of Meseches Erevin. Other people say, savor it, because, you know, the honest truth is that for many of us, we're not going to see this Masechta for another 7.5 years. I'm sure everybody has great plans about Chazara for Maseches Erevin, right? I will say, but it's possible that I won't see it. So sometimes, you know, when you're going to say goodbye to a beloved friend for a prolonged amount of time, even if the relationship was a little bit rocky, as it was with Erevin at days, right? Sometimes I didn't have the warmest feelings towards Erevin. Sometimes I didn't feel so connected. But I will say at the end of the day, you know who your friends are. And Erevin has always been a trusted friend. For one simple reason, I will say, you know, sometimes you need your friends and they're not there. Sometimes you call your friends and they don't answer. Erevin was here for us every day. There was not one day that Erevin didn't show up. Some days I didn't show up, right? Erevin was waiting for me, right? But Erevin never kept me waiting. So whenever you have a beautiful friend you're not going to see for a little while, you make sure to say goodbye in the appropriate day. So both say our last half of Masechet Erevin. Amr Yochanan, Ushtem Mikra Echad Dershu. Both say both Rabbi Shimon ben Anas and Rabbi Akiva Darshan the same pasuk. What was the pasuk? Both say this is incredible. Vayavoa Kohanim Lipnima Beis Hashem. Both say this is really an incredible sugya. So what happens? The pasuk says the Kohanim came into the inner area, lipnimo, the inner chambers of the Beis Hashem, to do what? Vayotzu es kol ha-tumah shermatzu be'eichal Hashem l'chatzar Beis Hashem. They took out all of the tumah, all of the things that were impure in the heichal of Hashem l'chatzar Beis Hashem to the chatzar. They kablu halavim, then they handed it off to the levim. I'll tell you what's happening over in just a moment. Lahotzi lenachal kidron chutza, in order to go ahead and take it out to Nachal Kidron, the Kidron stream. Shabbos says, so interestingly enough, what is this referring to over here? So this is referring to when Chizkiyo HaMelech became king. One of the first things that Chizkiyo did is Chizkiyo's father was Achaz. Achaz, unfortunately, did not do the right thing. And he introduced a dramatic amount of Avodah Zarah into Klal Yisrael, including into the Beis HaMikdash itself. The first thing, one of the first things that Chizkiyo did is that he went ahead and he cleaned out the Beis HaMikdash. He cleaned out the Beis HaMikdash from all of the Avodah Zarah. So the process here is very interesting. So the Kohanim went into the innermost chambers of the Beis HaMikdash. They cleaned out all of the Avodah Zarah. In the Chatzar, in the courtyard, they handed it off to the Levium, and the Levium then went ahead and disposed of it in the Kidron Valley. So Gemara says, so what's happening over here? If you take a look at Rashi says, "Ve'kablu ha'levim lahotzi misham lenachal Kidron." It's the first short line, first of the thin lines. Aval kohanim achirim lo mitamin afal pisha utzichin la'anoshim harbei elam otzim en heichal la'azara v'ilo misham luchutz levim hu dimitamin v'lo kohanim. So we'll say something very interesting happened over here. So why did they do the handoff from the Kohanim to the Levium in the Azara, in the courtyard? It's actually, before we read this Rashi, well, let's read the Rashi, kind of will help us frame the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Benaris Savar, Midishtani Tumas Azara Mikohanim Levium, Shmamino, Hecha di Ise Ba'azara, Lamafkina Le Ba'avera, Ela Mahadrinon Aatera, Ubishabis Nami Lodachin and Shul. So we'll say, interestingly enough, Benaris understands that from the fact that they switched from Kohanim to Levium in the Azara, indicates to us that what? That halacha lemaisa tumah in the Azara is not as severe. Because if it was severe, then what would happen? The Kohanim should just get it out. Don't start switching hands in the Azara. Just get it out. Once you started, finish it up and just get it out. The fact that they switched would seem to indicate that there's a lesser severity of tumah ultimately, again, in the Azara. And therefore, I will say, interestingly enough, what that would mean is, on Shabbos, if there was Tumah in the Azara, it's possible that what? Now, I will say, if you find a dead Sheretz in the Azara, what's the status of that dead Sheretz? Going back to our Smichas Chavashir, that's Muktzah. Now, normally we say that what? Normally we say that, Halacha L'maisa, there's no Shavus in the Mikdash. There's no shavus. There's no drabbanas in the mikdash when you need to dispense with drabbanas. But if you don't need to dispense with drabbanas, obviously you uphold drabbanas. Watch this. Look at the Gemara. Mar Savar, one opinion holds midi ishtani ba'azara b'levim b'doma ba'azara leka. So we'll say one opinion holds the fact that they switched, the Kohanim handed off the Avodah Zarah to the Levium in the Azara, tells us that what? That there's no real Tumah in the Azara. Or there aren't really concerns about Tumah in the Azara. Because think about this logically. If there was real Tumah concerns in the Azara, then what would you do? Just get it out. Don't start switching hands over here. Don't start with a handoff. Get it. Remember, I will say, the Kohanim are already handling the Avodah Zarah, right? Remember again, the Levium can't go in to the Heichal, to the Ulam. So the Kohanim are already handling it. And if the Kohanim are already handling it, just get the job done and get it out. The fact that they could switch off in the Azara would seem to indicate to us that the laws of Tumah really don't apply the same way in the Azara. In the courtyard, Uman Sa'um Umayr Savar Ad Heichal de la Efshar B'Levium Mafke Kohanim. Hashtag the Efshar B'Levium, Sulo Metamikon. The opinion says, no, there's Tumah in the Azara as well. Rabbi said, the goal over here is, in an ideal world, if we could have the Levium get rid of all of the Avodah Zarah, we would have the Levium get rid of all of the things. Why, Rabbi said? Why? Because the truth is, as much as we don't want the Levim to become Tameh either, we have a much greater vested interest in keeping Kohanim Tahorim than Levim Tahorim. For one simple reason. The Avoda could go on without the Levim. The Avoda cannot go on without the Kohanim. But it's just that the Levim could not enter into certain areas of the Mikdash. So therefore, any areas where the Levim could not enter, we had the Kohanim take care of it. But once Halacha Lamaisa, there was an area that the Levim could take over, just hand it over to the Levim. In other words, whatever we could do to minimize the Tumah of the Kohanim, we try to minimize the Tumah of the Kohanim. So we'll say, quite incredible. That's the Machlokes. Tan Rabbana. So we'll say, interestingly enough, now that the Gemara introduced this to us, so we'll say, so the Gemara has so much to say over here, but just because of time. I'll tell you this. So let me just tell you, because now the Gemara is going to transition for just a moment to something else. Let me just say the halacha. So we saw the halacha by Sheretz. I want to leave you with halacha. It's important to know these halachas. So we'll say, so halacha number one is you're not allowed to bring a Sheretz into the Mikdash, right? We do not subscribe to this idea that the Gemara floated on Amud Beis, this concept that if you bring a Sheretz into the Beis HaMikdash, you're not chayif. No. If you bring a Sheretz into the Beis HaMikdash, if you do it b'mezid, you're chayif kares, b'shogeg you're chayif chata. So we'll say, next halacha, this is in Rambam, Hilchos Bias HaMikdash, halacha gimal, perak gimal halacha chaf. But what about the machlokes Rabbi Kiva and Benanas, Shubashim Benanas? Listen to this. Komakum shechayavan al zedono kares, al shigoso karban, im ninses shamtum b'shambas motzienosa. So we'll say the halacha is as follows. Any part of the Mikdash, where if you were to walk into it in a state of Tumah, right? If you did it intentionally, b'chayiv kares, and unintentionally, shogeg, those are one of the areas where if you find a sheretz there, if you find Tumah there on Shabbos, you get it out. Ushara makomos, kofan alav kli, ad achar Shabbos. And I will say again, and any other space in the Mikdash compound, so I will say what this means practically is, anywhere that you find Tumah, pretty much in the Beis HaMikdash compound, halacha l'maaseh, you have to get rid of it on Shabbos. Right? Because again, there's a chi of kares for entering into any area of the Mikdash, including the Azora, including the courtyard. If you enter into the courtyard in a state of Tumah, intentionally chayiv kares, unintentionally chatos. Therefore, if you find a dead sheretz anywhere in the Beis HaMikdash, you must get it out immediately, even on Shabbos. We'll say, what's the shayla? How do you get it out? So watch this. Here it is. Ukeshe motzien, ein motzien ela bipshute kli'etz. Both said this in Kharos. The Rambam Paskins, like Rabbi Huda in the Mishnah. Both said that when you get, so we don't have the Kohen take off his sash and pick up the sheretz and get it out. Rather, you remove Tumah with pshute kli'etz, utensils which are not makabel Tumah. Why, says the Rambam? Shei makabel Tumah, shelo l'rabos est hatumah. In order not to go ahead and create, so we'll say, essentially what the Rambam says is, in the process of removing Tumah, don't create more Tumah. Which I will say, according to Rambam, what we said before, remember we spoke about the Hashkafic ramifications. What the Rambam would say over here is, make sure, in the process of solving your life problems, make sure you do not create new ones. See, Rabbi Yosef, it's an incredible, incredible mussar. That sometimes in life I'm faced with a challenge. And sometimes there is almost like a desire, let me just take off the belt, grab the sheretz, and get it out. But the problem is now, in solving one problem, I've created a new source of tumah. To which the Rambam says, when addressing your life issues, make sure in the process of fixing one thing, you don't cause tumah to something else. Which I will say is also an incredible yisod. This is very Maimonian in nature. Because what the Rambam is also saying is, in the process of personalistic growth, take a measured approach. Both say, I see this all the time. What happens when a person says, I'm going to change. And so what happens? They take on anything and everything. Right? There's a whole, as Rabbi Soloveitchik calls this, you know, comprehensive personalistic change. Person goes there and takes on everything, right? I go from 0 to 60 in under 3 seconds. Both say, 99% of the time, what happens? Failure. Profound failure. By the way, it's not even failure. It's like crash and burn failure, right? It's like collateral damage failure. And not only that, not only is it fail, I must say the failure, it doesn't even return me to where I was before. It sets me back 50 steps. The process to growth is slow and methodical. Slow and methodical. There's a sheretz in your life. So don't just grab the belt as the Rambam and get it out because you just made the belt tameh. So you just exchanged one problem for another problem. Slow and steady. Slow and steady. Find the pshutei kleiyetz. Find something that can come tomorrow. Grab a hold of the sheretz. Walk it out. When dealing with your life issues, and for that matter again, when plotting a path for growth, slow, steady, thoughtful is a sustainable method. So let's listen to this. Everybody goes into the, anyone could go into the Heichal in order to go ahead and build it, fix it, and to take out Tumah. So we'll say, this is getting into the sugya, and we'll say, you know, we're going to see after Pesachim, we have the incredible privilege to go out and do Shkalim, which is interesting because it's the only Yerushalmi Masechta that is part of Daf Yomi. So we'll say, interestingly enough, we're going to talk about the Gemara Masechta Shkalim, speaking about repairs of the Beis HaMikdash, how they did repairs. Because we'll say, think about this in just a moment. Kohanim, right, first of all, we think about generally, again, who's going to be making repairs in the Beis HaMikdash? Right. So firstly, we're assuming you have a guy, right? You have a guy. And most generally, he's not Jewish. And I will say, so again, but of course, that doesn't work in a Beis HaMikdash, right? Beis HaMikdash, you know, so interesting enough, there's a whole discussion. Let's say you have to make, there were repairs that had to be made in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Who makes the repairs in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So it's a whole discussion. Here the Gemara discusses this. Hakol Mikhnasim Beheichal, Livnos, Letakim Lohotia Satome. Everyone could go into the Heichal. If it needs to be built, if it needs to be repaired, and if there's tumah there that needs to be removed. However, umitzvah bekohanim. But I will say, ideally, it should really be kohanim who go ahead and go into the mikdash in general, to make, or especially the kodesh, to make any kind of repairs. But I'll say, this is incredible. Imein sham kohanim. What happens if there are no kohanim? Nichnasan levim. Fine, there's a hierarchy. You can't find kohanim to do the repairs. Ultimately, again, bring in the levim. Ain sham levim, or if there are no levim, nichnasim yisraelim. You can bring Yisrael. The idi. I see this gemara, I have to think to myself. This is why mamash have to become handy because this is my only chance at getting into the Beis HaMikdash. Right, only chance. Unless my yichus, I don't have time. I'm really a kohen, but lemat halavai. But in Yirtz Hashem, this is the only chance. Idi v'idi tahorin. So I'll say ultimately again, and all of these people, whether you're kohanim, levim, yisraelim. Only people who are tar could go in to go ahead and work on the mikdash. Idi v'idi tarin in temein lo. Fine. Rav Kahana meseyeya kohani. Rav Kahana used to help out the kohanim. We'll say if you look at Rashi, it's almost right across. Meseyeya kohani. Damar lekaman kohanim temein adifi mitari yisrael. So we're going to see Rav Kahana lobbied very hard for the kohanim. We'll say there's a good reason Rav Kahana lobbied very hard for the kohanim, and that is. Because Bepashtas, he was a Kohen, right? Bepashtas, he was a Kohen. So the Gemara says, listen to this. Tanya Rav Kahana, mitoch shenemar, ach ala paroches lo yavo. So we'll say, remember again, the Pasuk says, in Vayikra, ach ala paroches lo yavo mizbech lo yigash kimum bo. We'll say, this is talking about a Kohen who is a Baal Mum. So a Kohen who is a Baal Mum, a Kohen who has a blemish, one of the blemishes, you know, enumerated by the Torah, is not allowed to do the Avoda. So watch this. Mitoch shenemar ela paroches lo yavo, ach ela paroches lo yavo, yocho lo yukohanim u'minichnosin bein ha'ulam bein ha'mizbech, la'asos rikuei pachim. Well, so listen to this. Is a kohen baal mum allowed to enter in the area between the ulam and mizbech? Well, so remember again, the ulam was the large rectangular entranceway into the heichal, right? The heichal also is the primary structure of the Beis HaMikdash. The Heichal housed the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Mizbeach HaKetores, the Menorah, the Shulchan. The Ulam was the entranceway. When you walked outside of the Ulam, there was the large Mizbeach HaChitzon, the large animal offering altar. So we'll see. Listen to this. Is a Kohen who has a Mum, is he allowed to be in the area between the Mizbeach and the Ulam? Now, why would he be there? Because it will say, what do you need him to do? You need him to hammer out gold sheets. Remember, again, the walls of the Kodesh were plated in gold. So sometimes you have to replace the gold plating for whatever the reason. A Kohen who's a Baal Mum, is he allowed to go ahead and be in the area between the Mizbeach and the Ulam to hammer out gold sheets? Talmud Lomar, ach. Therefore, we'll say again, the Pasuk says, ach, chilek. Ach comes ultimately again to go ahead and make a chilek. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, ach, chilek, kilomar, ach, in brakim, miutin, kol esin, gamin, rebuyin, chilek, miet, malach, asher, lilius. We'll listen to this. So ach comes along to say the following. Whereas a Baal Mum is not allowed to do the avoda, a Baal Mum is allowed to what? Come to the area between the Mizbeach and the Ulam in order to go and hammer out the gold sheets for use in the Kodesh. Mitzvah b'tamimim. Ultimately, again, the mitzvah, I'll say ideally, you would go ahead and do this with Kohanim who are unblemished. Ein sham tamimim. If you don't have unblemished Kohanim, nichnasim bali mumin. Then you allow Kohanim Bali Mumin also to do the work. So this is a hierarchy. Kohanim Tamimim, if you don't have Kohanim Tamimim, you use Kohanim Bali Mumin. Mitzvah B'Tahorin, we'll say ideally again, you would go out and utilize Kohanim who were tar. Ein Sham Tahorin, first wide line, Ein Sham Tahorin, Nichnasin Tzimeyin. We'll say if you can't find Kohanim Tahorin, you can use Kohanim Tzimeyin. Edi v'edi Kohanim in Yisrael Lo. We'll say, but according to this approach, Rav Kahana says, ideally, we'll say all work is to be done by Kohanim. All work to be done by Kohanim. So again, ideally, call it Kohanim Tamimim Tahorin. If you don't have Tahorim Tamimim Tahorin, then use Kohanim Bali Mumim Tahorin. And if you don't have Tahorim, ultimately again, use Kohanim Tamayim. So the Gemara says, Idi Kohanim and Yisraelim. Now, Rav Kahana's model, he said Kohanim only not Yisraelim. So interesting enough, in the first model, it was Kohanim are ideal. If you don't have Kohanim, Levim. If you don't have Levim, Yisraelim. In Rav Kahana's model, it's really Kohanim. What we'll do is, we'll go down the row for Kohanim. So in other words, ideally you want an unblemished Kohen who's Tahar. If I can't get an unblemished Kohen who's Tahar, I'll use a blemished Kohen who's Tahar. If I can't get that, then I'll use a Kohen who is unblemished to his Tamei. And if I can't get that, I'll use a Kohen who's blemished to his Tamei. That's what Rav Kahana says. But it's ultimately, again, really only Kohanim, not Yisraelim. But so listen to this Shaila. Ibailu. Tami Ubalmum, this is how profound this is. Ezer Nichnas, what if you have a coin who is Tami or a coin who is a Balmum? Here are your options. One coin is Tami, one coin is a Balmum. So ultimately again, Shabbos say, who is it that should enter into the Mikdash to do the repairs? Ezer Nichnas, Rathi Bar Ashi Amarav, Tami Nichnas, the Ishri Be'avoda. It's the Tami who goes in. We'll say, why is the Tami better than a Balmum? Because there are circumstances under which a Kohen who is Tameh could do the Avodah. Rabbi said, what are those circumstances? Tuma Hutra B'tzibor. Rabbi said, when 51% of Klal Yisrael is Tameh, halacha lemaisa, a Kohen who is Tameh could go. So then the laws of Tuma essentially are suspended. So listen to this. The first opinion says, it is better, a Kohen who is Tameh is better than a Kohen who is a Balmum. Because there are circumstances in which tuma could be suspended and the coin could operate. Listen to this, Rabbi Osei. So Rav Amar Tamei Nichnas Da Ishtrei Ba'avodas Tibor. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Bamum Nichnas Da Ishtrei Ba'achilas Kodshim. Oh, Rabbi, listen to this. So Rabbi Lazar says a Bamum is better. Why? Because a Bamum ultimately again could eat Kodshim. Could eat Kajim. So I will say again, you understand what's at play over here? What is considered to be a higher state? Which is better, which is worse? Suppose you have two Kohanim who could go in, a Balmum, and ultimately against someone who's Tameh. So one opinion says, well, Tumah's better because there is a scenario in Tumah where he could do the Avodah, whereas a Balmum can never do the Avodah. Other opinion says, yeah, but a Balmum could eat Kajim, whereas someone who's Tameh can never eat Kajim. So we'll say, Halach Lamais, how do we pass him over here? So this is very interesting. So the Rambam paskins. This Rambam is fascinating. I'll give you the Marav Makom. The Marav Makom is Hilchos Beis Abechira, Perek Zayin Halacha Chav Gimel. Here the Rambam discusses about how they would go ahead and do all of the repairs inside of the Beis HaMikdash. So just, I'm not going to go through all of it. So the Gemara says, like the Gemara, Mitzvah Shu'a Nechnasin Kohanim Tamir. I'll say, ideally, it should be unblemished Kohanim would do the repairs. That's the ideal. Lo Matzu Tamimim, Yikantzu Bali Mumin. If you can't find unblemished Kohanim, then ultimately, again, use blemished Kohanim. V'mein Sham Kohanim, Yichnesu Levim. If there are no Kohanim at all, let Levim go. Lo Matzu Levim, you can't find Levim, let Yisraelim go. Mitzvah B'Tahorim. Obviously, the person should be Tar. Lo Matzu Tar Mikantzu Tameim. If you can't find someone Tar, send them in Tameh. Tameh Ubamum. I'll say, here it is. What happens if we only have two Kohanim? One is Tameh, one is a Balmum. Who should go in to go to make the repairs? Yikanes Balmum Va'al Yikanes Tameh. The Rambam paskins ultimately again that Allah HaMaisa, the Balmum, has preference over the tame. Well, it's interesting. The Rambam then goes in. So Baal Mum has preference over the. Which I both say there's a logic to that. Ultimately, again, because in a certain respect, the Baal Mum I both say this was the Ribono Shalom's decision, right? This is how the Ribono Shalom made this individual versus the individual who become tame. Usually, you become tame through some of your own actions. So the Baal Mum has precedence over the Kohen who's tame. Amazing, good. But we'll say here we go. Here we go. Rabbi Shimon says, Tanabon, Rabbi Shimon Hechakai. So we'll say, remember, Rabbi Shimon made a very strange statement in the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon says, I'll quote you from the Mishnah, Makom Shetiru Lacha Chacham Mishalcha Nasnu Lacha. So Rabbi Shimon says, any time that the rabbis allow you to do something, understand what they're doing is they're giving you back something that was already rightfully yours, right? It's a very strange statement. So, right, we get all, Rabbi Shimon says, everybody gets all excited when the Rabbanon are Mekel, right? When the rabbis are lenient. They'll get so excited. They took it away from you in the first place. And now when they're Mekel, they're giving it back to you. So all they're really doing is giving you back a right that was already yours. The Gemara says, what? Whoa. Like, what happened to you? Right? The Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon Heichan Kai, what is he referring to specifically? As well as I, remember, that statement doesn't really fits so well with the rest of the Mishnah. So what is he referring to? Well, so here we go. So remember, this is incredible. This is the last Mishnah Erevin. So the Gemara is going to suggest that Rabbi Shimon's statement has come to kind of link back to the halachas of Erevin. So watch this. Hasam koi, this time, so we had this. Mi shehech shechut letchum, afilu ama achas leikonis. So remember, we had this Mishnah. If someone finds themselves even one ama outside of the tchum, outside of the Shabbos boundary, Rabbi will say, you're stuck. Even an ama outside of the tchum, you can't enter into the tchum. Rabbi Shimon says, no, afilu chamesh esrei ama yikanes. Even if you're 15 amas outside of the tchum, you could come into the tchum. Why? Lefi she'ein hamashuchos mamtzines hamidos. Because remember again, when they would put the tchum markers, they were inexact, right? They were not exact with the tchum, mipnei hatoim, because of the people who would make mistakes. They both say, now, if you look at Rashi may have toim, if it's the third wide line in Rashi, shelo yituba hilchach mekatzen osa nimtze shadayin ha-tchum lo egiyo, umishik shiklo chutz le-tchum kvar nichnas so ha-payim tezvam. Both listen to this. Lishna achrim ne ha-toim, shogim yosef, both listen to this. The idea over here is, Reb Shimon says, they purposely were more machmir with the tchum markers. Because we ask, how do people live? People often live on the edge, right? People live on the border. So if you put the marker here, people are going to go up to here. So what they did is they backed up the markers a little bit. So in fact, they put the tchum markers really earlier than the actual tchum ended. So Reb Shimon says, therefore, even if you find yourself up to 15 amis outside of the tchum, in reality, you're in the tchum already. You're in the tchum already, and that's not a kula, because lemaisa, again, the rabbanu were a bit more machmir, but I'm allowing you to come into the tchum because you're really already there. Tanakama savar lo ikanes. Tanakama holds that aloha lemaisa. No, if you are outside of the tchum marker, you may not enter, and ultimately give Rabbi Shimon ikanes. So therefore, we'll say, when Rabbi Shimon says that when Chazal relaxed their halachas, they're really giving you back, which is rightly yours. That is what Shimon saying, when I allow you to go into the tchum, right? Even though, again, you're up to 15 amas outside, that's not me being mekel. That's me telling you that the way the tchum markers were set up was in a way to be machmir. But in fact, the tchum markers were really set up, they were put in the ground really before the actual tchum ends. Therefore, if you find yourself within 15 amas of the tchum marker, you can enter into the tchum, and that's not a kula. That area is really yours. You're really already in the tchum. Good Rabbi said, let's finish off. Because ultimately, again, they only allowed it to you. Mishum shavos. Rabbi said, what does this mean? So, what is this talking about? So here we go. Kosher. So we'll say, interestingly enough, this is a throwback to an earlier sugya. We had about, say, just a few days ago. What happens if the string on one of the Levitic instruments goes ahead and snaps? What happens in that situation? So the Amar Tanakama Koshra. So we'll say the Tanakama said you could retie the string of the string instrument and you could even tie a knot. Koshra. V'amrili Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon said no ondva. You could only tie a bow. You can't knot it. You could only bow it. So there says the Gemara, Aniva dolo asili dechiev chatas sharli rabbanam. So, we'll say Rabbi Shimon will say you're only allowed to tie a bow because Rabbi will say there is no way that a bow could ever lead to a biblical prohibition. Right? Because Rabbi will say, remember, the issue over here is the malacha of kshira. The malacha of kosher of kshira is only when you tie a kesher shel kayama. Only ultimately, again, when you go out and you tie a knot with permanence, But a bowl, by definition, is an impermanent knot, and therefore, halacha lemaaseh, there is no problem with this. Therefore, Rabbi Shimon says, when do we allow you to go ahead and repair the Levitic instrument? That's only if you go ahead and you tie a bow, because a bow can never lead you ultimately to a biblical prohibition. However, again, says the Shalom Rabbanon, Kshira, the Asi Lidei Chiyev Chatos, Rabbi says, tying a knot, which absolutely could lead you to a Chiyev Chatos, ultimately, again, lo shor. So we'll say, look at Rashi. Kshir da asili dechiv chatos b'medina. Now, we'll say, now understand, in the Beis Hamikdash, let's be clear. Everyone agrees. On a technical level, are you allowed to tie a knot in the string of a Levitic instrument? Are you allowed to do that? Technically, yes. It's nisa d'oraisa. We'll say, remember again, isri d'oraisa technically are permitted for avoda. What's the greatest raya to that? Shechita, right? We shecht karbonos. So the fact that you shecht karbonos clearly tells you that halacha lemaaseh, even isuri d'oraisa are permitted for the performance of sacrificial rites. So Rabbi Shimon says, I agree that on a technical level, you should be able to tie a knot in the Beis Hamikdash to repair the Levitic instrument. What am I concerned about? I'm concerned about that whatever you do in the Beis Hamikdash kind of has a way of potentially what? Trickling outside of the Beis Hamikdash. So therefore, again, Rabbi Shimon, if you tie a knot to the Mikdash, totally fine for the Levitic instruments. But the problem is, I'm concerned that that may come to allow people to tie knots outside of the Beis Hamikdash. And tying knots outside of the Beis Hamikdash, Rabbi Shimon would be what? Would be a potential Isser Doraisa. Therefore, Rabbi Shimon says, therefore, let's read that again. So the Tanakhama says, Kosha. Tanakhama says, you're allowed to knot the Levitic instrument, the string of the Levitic instrument, because you're allowed to go and even violate what would potentially be Isuri D'oraisa for the sake of avodah, sacrificial service of the Mitzvah on Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon comes along, Rabbi Shimon, Al Ondva Aniva Dola Asili Dechiev Chat. Rabbi Shimon says, you're allowed to go ahead and tie a bow on the Levitic instruments. Why? Because ultimately, again, Dola Asili Dechiev Chatas Shari Rabbanon. So Rabbi Shimon will say, we'll allow you to tie a bow in the Mikdash, because ultimately, again, the tying of a bow cannot result even in the potential biblical prohibition outside of the Beis HaMikdash. However, Kshira, we'll say the last words of Maseches Erev and savor it. Kshira, the lo asi li dechiyev chatos. But we'll say Kshira, ultimately, again, tying a knot, even in the Mikdash, which if allowed in the Mikdash, Rabbi Shimon says, I'm concerned that people may come to tie a knot outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Kshira da'asi lidechiv chatos, like Rashi says, b'medina gezeira shem yikshar keshel shel kayama lo sharu le rabbanon. Ultimately, again, says Rabbi Shimon, therefore we'll say again, when it says shlo etir lecha ele mishum shavos in the Mishnah, what Rabbi Shimon meant to say was like this. It's a throwback to the previous sugya. Rabbi Shimon saying, even on a technical level, you should be able to tie a knot in a broken string of a Levitic instrument, but a halacha lemaaseh, again, we're only going to want you to tie a bow. What are we concerned about? That in this particular case, if we let you tie a knot in the Mikdash, you may come to tie a knot in the dinner. Why don't you say that if we let you go ahead and do shechita in the Mikdash, you're going to come to do shechita outside of the Mikdash? Because we understand, certainly these people know. Right? Everyone knows you can't shecht an animal on Shabbos. Everyone knows. We'll say, nodding, the malach of kosher is a much more nuanced malach. We'll say, I think we saw this in the sugya, you're taking out your garbage, person of garbage on Shabbos, which you're allowed to do. Right? Normally, again, a person ties a knot in their garbage bag. You can't do that on Shabbos. And we'll say, a lot of times a person wouldn't even think about that. Rabbi Shimon is concerned that if we allow you to tie knots in the Mikdash, you're going to come to tie knots outside of the Mikdash. Therefore, halacha lemaaseh, Rabbi Shimon says, we want to repair a broken Levitic instrument. Just go ahead and tie a bow in the Mikdash. And therefore, again, you'll only come to tying a bow outside of the Mikdash, and you won't come to a Chiyuv d'oraisa. We'll say, Emir Tzashem, our Siyum, there's still time to register for those who haven't registered yet for the Siyum tonight at 7 o'clock. It's going to be an incredibly beautiful and special. We'll say, a tremendous Yasher Koach. This, I know some of you felt that Erevin wasn't always easy at times. I know it's a minority opinion. It might even be just, I can't even count on one hand the number of people who gave me difficult feedback about Erevin. Right? But understand, at the end of the day, what is Chus? We had, I just want to tell you something, just so you should know the times that we're living in. Erevin is one of the hardest Masechtas in Shas. There's no question, it is. But just understand the time that we're living in, used to be, who would learn Erevin? Only like the greatest Talmidei Chachamim. And now Baruch Hashem, so we just accomplished something that in past generations was unaccomplishable by most Jews. by most Jews. That's obviously, again, incredible thanks to Art Scroll and to Koren and to all the different tools and to Rashi, all the different tools and the pictures, right? All the different tools that we have. Let's say, what is chus we have? You accomplished something that I guarantee you your grandparents didn't accomplish. For many of us, our grandparents, or great grandparents. Because we'll say, to be able to learn a mesecta, it's one of the hardest mesectas in Shas. And we did it. You'll say, but what did I retain? What did I didn't? First of all, we'll say, I sent out the link to a couple of videos last night on the WhatsApp chat. We'll say, they're not such long videos. They're excellent. Rabbi Reisman and Rabbi Hanneman specifically have two shiurim about Erev Chatzeres and Erev Tchumen. We'll say, because many of you asked, here I finished Erevin, and I still don't know about a tchum, or still, supposed to say, you will see, by the way, first of all, you do know. Because I watched one of the videos last night. You do know, because when you begin to hear the explanation of halacha lamaisa, you're going to recognize all of the concepts. So first, I would urge you to do that, because it takes what you learned and plugs it into lamaisa. But I will say, just bask in the accomplishment. You, each of you, you are a Jew who finished Erevin. You are a Jew who finished Erevin. And I will say, in the history of Klal Yisrael, there aren't so many Jews who finished Erevin. And the truth is, when you look at the Jews in past generation who finished Erevin, they were the elite of the elite. You joined the ranks of the elite of the elite, that you are Messiah Mesachas Erevin. So I will say, so tonight we're going to celebrate this accomplishment. Tomorrow morning we'll begin Pesachim. I will say, Pesachim. Pesachim. And by the way, we're going to finish Pesachim a week before Pesach, which I will say means that this time, you could go into Pesach and you can know it's flying, right? And I don't mean just the pots and pans across your kitchen. I mean, you could walk into Pesach. I will say, imagine the first parak of Pesachim is Orla Arbasar. So imagine you're going to come into Pesach, and when you do the Badika, we'll say, you know, a lot of times for the Badika, what is it called? Let's learn amongst friends. Okay, get the 10 pieces of bread out. Let's get the 10 pieces of bread. Gamarnu, right? Let's go. We'll say, you're going to come into Pesach, you're going to know what a Badika means. You're going to, we'll say, remember again, the last parak of Pesachim is Arvei Pesachim, which again, all the Seder. You're going to come into the Seder. Come into the Seder. Just having learned Arvei Pesachim. But I will say, you know, you're Vasiki Hadaf already. It's the commitment. It's the commitment. And I will say, of course, again, there's nothing like a commitment to Shir. You know, a person, of course, you can always grab the Daf wherever you go. And sometimes, of course, we have to because of scheduling things. But whenever you can be part of the shir, again, if it's in person, incredible. It'll be wonderful to fill back this space magic again. If it's the chevra on Zoom, whatever you could do, the kvias, to be part of shir, in person, online, that's the godless of Torah. Because they eat in the Torah. To be part of something bigger than yourself. When you learn the daf on your own, you're a Jew learning Torah. When you learn the daf as part of the shir, you're a Jew learning Torah as part of Klal Yisrael. That's true if you're part of this year virtually. That's true if you're part of this year in person. So it's the great chesed. The journey continues. So we'll celebrate this accomplishment in Miras Hashem tonight. For those who are able to make it, it's going to be in the tents beginning at 7 o'clock p.m. In Miras Hashem, a beautiful evening. For those who are unable to join us, we will definitely have you in mind. But more importantly than celebrating the accomplishment is in Miras Hashem getting ready to begin the new adventure tomorrow. We'll say Mazel Tov. And looking forward to B'shul Tov and Masacha starting Pesach with all of you tomorrow. Shkoyach. How do I do this? Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov. I want to see. All right, Chevron on Zoom. I don't know how to unmute all of you, but all right, I just want to wish all of you a Mazel Tov. Really, an incredible. I'm looking at you. I'm just looking at the laptop. You know, let me do this. Now I'm looking directly at all of you. We'll say, Chevron on Zoom, it is such a schus to be able to learn with all of you each and every morning. I have to say, I miss all of you, even the ones in Eretz Yisrael, and even the ones right here. I get to see some of you on Shabbos. I get to see some of you only on Zoom. But it is such an incredible zuchus. In Eretz Hashem, looking forward to continuing the journey tomorrow. And Halavai Eretz Yisrael should be zocha to finish Shas many times together in Halavai together in Yerushalayim. Rebuilt Beis HaMikdash here Rabbi Yameinu. Amen. Shkayach, everyone. Have a wonderful day. Thank you, of course, Shkayach, Mazel Tov.
Did you get Jacob's text?
Yes, Mazel Tov. I just saw it this morning. Okay, Mazel Tov. Incredible. Incredible.
Have a wonderful day.
Dr. Gavenshka. Dr. Gavenshka, can we get to see him tonight?
I hope so.
Yeah. Amir Sashem. Looking forward to seeing you. Mazel tov. Long journey. long journey.
Yeah.
Ach, Hashem.
After the first part,
yeah, but you know what? Even Tuman Tara is a little bit different than everything is complicated.
Truthfully,
yeah, I think it's interesting. People have different things. So some people math, they just shut down. Some people Tuman Tara, they
shut. Yeah, Hashem.
Mirtz Hashem. Mirtz Hashem.
Yes,
sir.